Hello, welcome to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fojo. He is a voice called to restore the dignity of humanity, to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the true identity of Christ in us, to raise and build people of absolute dominion, to raise a fearless generation, to bring salvation to the unsaved, revival to the brokenhearted, liberate men from captivity, to reveal the absoluteness of the Holy Ghost, to break the walls of denomination and bring about unity in the body of Christ across the continent. And now, today's message.
David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because in his house there's in it fullness of joy. Tonight, I'm trusting the Lord. The Lord will open us to new vistas in the Spirit, and then we will walk in that which conforms us into his image. Am I communicating, friends? All right, so let's do this first. Let's do this. We thank God for grace. Are you blessed, please? Wonderful. God will do something in this month. Are you blessed, friends? Yes. So we'll have a very deep study today. Something God told me when I was in Sierra Leone, of which I want to study that, and hopefully we migrate from there. God is good. Are we good to go, friends? All right. Are you aware the month of March is a month of prophecy? Let us say amen. So, and don't forget that Easter falls in the month of March. God is good. Now, I don't know if you've seen it, but that's why I said that the last week of March, which is March 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, is the Easter week. Praise God. So we are going to do a long Easter service. So we'll begin ours on Monday. God is good. It is called the week of resurrection. Somebody say glory. But before I end the service, I'll talk about that. Now, today I'll deal with something very deep. I'm praying that God will open your understanding here. God is good. All right. Now, before I proceed, let me say this here. I'll teach you on something believers don't know. And I'm just praying that you will understand this word. God is good. I came a bit late because I had a call from a friend of mine in Ghana. He's in prison right now. And then he asked us to pray about something. And I've never seen him this broken. He was too broken and began to shed tears. So in the course of the prayer, the Lord told me what killed this person. Hello. But he's like, why is it that almost every time the enemy tends to succeed and believers get to fail? Is it that believers don't understand the patterns of Christ? Or it looks like the part of God they get to discover isn't the God that God wants them to know about. If it makes sense, friends. Uh-huh. Of which I really want us to tackle that today. Are you blessed, please? Uh-huh. So this thing happened in the days of Isaiah the prophet, where the Lord told a king called Hezekiah to prepare his house, for he's about to die. Am I right? The Bible says he turned to the Lord. And then after prayer, God now gave him 15 years. But you realize that something happened afterwards. We always focus on the 15 years God added to him. But we don't get to focus on the end of the matter. If it makes sense, friends. Uh-huh. Now, today we'll deal with three things. Can you change prophecy? Can somebody help? Right from this. Today we'll deal with something people don't know. God is good. Because there's a lot we don't know. This is why members are meant to come to church on Fridays. Are you getting me? So they can profit from this grace blessing the world globally. Well, don't worry, we'll end service today, so I'll be able to say some things that God wasn't know about. I bless, friends. All right. So let's do the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. Lord, help us. Let's do 2 Kings 20. Let's do from verse 1, right? And then I'm just praying that God will open understanding here. I'll just cut some things short and let's see this. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. That's two. Then he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to God, saying, verse number 3, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and I've done with what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. The verse number 4. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out in the middle of the court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, verse 5, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the Lord of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Verse number 6. Yes. And I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Not because of Hezekiah. Watch this. Not everybody has the same position before the Lord. As to why God answered Hezekiah was because of his own people and the man called David, not Hezekiah. Hear this. Today you'll be blessed. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took and laid it on the boy and he recovered. All right. Now let's jump to verse 16. Hear this. Mesuvaya. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear what the Lord has said. After he told him that God says you add 15 years. Hear this. He says, behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. And nothing shall be left, says the Lord. Verse 18. And they shall take away some of your sons who would descend from you, who you beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. The verse 19. So Hezekiah said, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, will there not be peace and truth at least in my days? All right. Let's do chapter 21, please. The same 2 Kings, chapter 21. I hope you are writing down these things, friends. All right. So Hezekiah rested with his fathers. Then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. The verse 22. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became a king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. The verse number 3. Watch this. I like this. Then he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image as Ahab king of Israel had done. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. The verse number 4. Serious. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord has said in Jerusalem, I will put my own name there. Kai. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in two covenants before the Lord. Go on, please. Also, he made sons pass through the fire, practice soothsaying, use witchcraft, and consulted spirits and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Wait. Okay. So for a very long time, whenever we come to church, and whenever we pray to God, asking God for something, and the Lord gives us an answer we don't want to hear, we want to change God's desire. Do you hear me? Now, for a very long time, the average believer has been taught to understand that you can change everything through prayer. It is not true. Some people believe that God must give unto them what they desire when they pray unto God. Now, your prayer is not to convince God. Your prayer is only meant to activate God's will. Get the difference clear here. We don't pray to change God's mind when the answer is no. You didn't hear me? Let me know if I'm communicating, friends, here. Okay, so I repeat, a lot of Christians have this assumption that once this is what I want from the Lord, God must give unto me because he says in his word that I will grant unto you your own desire. But they've forgotten before the Lord gives unto your own desire, he will first tell you that I have called you into me. In other words, when you share the same identity with the Heavenly Father, the only thing you are meant to desire is what God has. You didn't hear me, friends. So once you desire for something God did not create, you are out of God's contact. I made you understand that you don't have a desire until you have a spirit. Every desire you have in God is because of alignment with God's will. If you have a desire which God did not create for you, a different entity has intercepted with you. Have it in mind. So whenever you come to church and I say, lift up your hands before the Lord, seeking for answers. If God is not giving you what you are praying to God for, the issue is not God. The issue is if that desire is what God has ordained for you. Am I communicating, friends? So every blessed day, you realize that the average believer is finding ways and means on how to change God's will to fit in their own plan. And God says, no. Is that clear? So we don't pray to change God's mind. We only pray to activate God's will. Have it in mind. Now watch me. You see, God is a respecter of a man's emotion and a man's decision. So if God knows that this is what you want, he will give that which you feel you want. But that thing can be a means of departure. It is not every answered prayer that will tell you that God has actually honored you. Sometimes some answered prayers is actually a means for God to leave you. So this is Hezekiah here. He prayed that God should give him 15 years. And God says, the issue isn't about the addition of the years. It's about the legacy that will be left behind. So you realize his son came and destroyed everything God gave him. Can you hear me? I hope you are aware that if this son was not there, are you aware that the time God told him to prepare his house, somebody else would have taken over from Hezekiah, and then somebody would have ruled better in the place of Hezekiah. But just because he gave God his own will, God said, let me respect you. Now, are you aware the salvation was not because he prayed, but because of the covenant God made with David and his own people? So you see, some people are walking in certain benefits in God, and they think they made it possible, whereas there's a bigger picture hidden. Oh, am I communicating, friends? So you must discern not to pray for things when God says this needs you. Because the very moment you begin to pray and God says no, believe it as it is. As to know why, you can't understand why. Certain things cannot be explained in time. Oh, am I communicating, friends? So you see, believers are praying wrong prayers. You should understand that you don't have a decision once you align with God. Your decision is what God says. If God says this, that is it. You can't change God's mind. Oh, is that clear? So I see a lot of people pray for testimonies. Sometimes the testimony might not be the arrival of the answer. Sometimes the testimony can also be the delay of an answer. Did you hear that? So, and Hezekiah prayed and God gave him 15 years. No. What happened after the 15 years was added? So I tell believers every day, always discern to know what God is saying. Every time discern, what is God saying here? You can't change God's mind. You can't change. You can't. He can only allow you benefit from the imperfect will you created for yourself. Not him. I told you there are three wills in God. There is the perfect will. There is the imperfect will. And we have the permissive will of God. I'm making this sure because I want people to know how deep it is. Now watch me, friends. Every miracle that God gives you is not for you. It's for his namesake. But he only wants to give you the opportunity of becoming a testament of his glory. Have it in mind. No miracle comes because you need it. Watch me. If God knows that the kingdom of God will not benefit from your marriage, he will keep you single. You didn't hear me? Exactly. If God knows you don't have the aligning character that will bring the kingdom agenda through what he gives you, he will keep you there. If God knows you have to be poor in order for you to serve him better, he will keep you there. Because he knows that the riches will bring about a character that will make him calm down. You see, God can't be disgraced. He doesn't want to be shamed. So just imagine God and trust you with something at the end of the story. He'll keep you there. You didn't hear me? I told you some time ago that when you pray to God for things, pray for the character to sustain the thing. Because after God finally gives what you have prayed for, what will now extend the longevity of the giving miracle is the character you possess. You didn't hear that? Okay. So I just finished my conference in Sierra Leone. It was in November when I was here in my office, and God told me that I should have a conference in Sierra Leone. And I asked God, so why should I storm Sierra Leone? And he told me that you stormed there for two reasons. It says for 40 years, the believers have been walking in a wrong doctrine. And it says, go and correct the doctrine. And it says, I'll make sure all the fathers who have been preaching for 40 years come to you and hear you speak. It says number two. It says, after you are done with the conference, the church will become more healthier. And with that, what we see is, I said, that's fine. So I made a few calls and I realized, okay, fine, we could enter to Sierra Leone. So the man of God I spoke with told me, the man of God, I would arrange all the pastors to meet you at the airport. I met them at the airport, spoke with them, and then after 2 days, they did a cocktail for me. Now, I was shocked to see fathers of the land gathering there. Now, some told me they've preached for more than 50 years. Serious. Now, just imagine you meet a bishop who says, I've preached for more than 50 years. What will you tell them? And these are fathers who have like resource in the land. Though. Some have like 3,000 seater church, 4,000 seater church. Somebody told me that he actually prays for the president, if it makes sense. So these are big guys. Now, serious enough, they all spoke this, that. Some said, we didn't used to believe in the prophetic because of this, because of that, a lot. And said, please tell us why God sent you to Sierra Leone and why the word invasion, because it looks strange to them. I spoke for 15 minutes before I realized they almost were all in tears. If you ask me what, I don't know what I said, but I knew I said something. If it makes sense. Now, after getting to speak with them, we had the program. If you watch that, you realize that some of the pastors who actually spoke before I came, they were too excited. If it makes sense. After serving someone, someone of God, for 40 years, we have never heard this part of God before. You see, if God knows he will give you a projection that will bring him dishonor, he will keep you there. You hear me? I know why some believers can't go far. Don't get me wrong. I'm a prophet of God. When I lay my hands over you, I hear things you can't see. Am I complicated? Now, God told me it is wisdom when he decides to keep quiet over your case. Because when he utters a statement, he has given an assignment. Did you hear that? If he knows that after he has spoken, you still will not obey his voice, his judgment is meant to come upon your life. And not just you alone, but even upon your entire generation. So you see, there are a lot of people that God has given them short-circuited understanding for them to believe what they have is who they are. And God says, just stay there. I told you before I left Sierra Leone that how is it that if a lady is pregnant, the head of the baby is down and the leg is up? But once you bring the baby outside, the baby can't walk with the legs up and the head down. God told me he knows how to control human beings. He knows what to give you and what part of life you can see that make you comfortable. The issue is, what is the part of life you're enjoying that you believe it is God, yet it's a proof of God's departure? Think about it. I'm not teaching here. But it's serious. Believers don't see that. All we see is the glamour. Nobody gets to see the seed. It's painful. So every young lady wants to get married. And funny enough, they don't know what it means to tarry. I taught you guys, did you join my service on Monday, Tuesday, when I was in Ghana, about marriage? After I taught, I spoke on Monday, I didn't know that one of the big bishop's daughter was watching me from Nigeria and said, man of God, I think for 35 years, I've listened to my dad about marriage. But when I heard you preach about marriage on women, I was shocked myself. Please listen to me. God is like a movie director and we are all actors and actresses. He can handpick anybody to do what he wants to do and put you aside. Have it in mind. So the miracle I pray to God for, see the miracle as an assignment because he can leave you too. Am I teaching you? So you realize that God was finding a way to vindicate the legacy of Hezekiah. But just because he couldn't see beyond time, he chose to obey what he felt was good. The issue is, if God should give you what you want, can you handle the shame? So not every miracle you pray to God for is a proof that God heard you. It can be a proof that since you've chosen to obey what you feel like doing, let me give you what it is and let me leave you. But you come back and cry again for mercy. That's it. I don't know how many years the man lived for, but if he had lived over 100 years, so meaning somebody now used 25 years to destroy 100 years of legacy, all because he claimed he prayed. Let me know if I'm communicating, friends. Yeah. This is why it's important to obey prophets. And not just any kind of prophet. How do I say this? Jesus Christ did not come to abolish the law of Moses. He only gave us the modern day ministry with the modern day knowledge because time progresses. But every party remains ancient. Did you hear that? God has never changed from whatever he created from the time he began. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. The way he grouped the sons of Jacob, he says, you are Benjamin, you are Judah. He has not changed. He's still there. That is why today, if you go to heaven, everything in heaven has got to do with whatever Israel did. I'm telling you, friends. But you see, because he knows how time gets to change and how time gets to progress, he gives people the modern day knowledge on how to go about things. But watch me, friends. If you try to assume that life has got to do with how time progresses, neglecting the ancient pattern, you die soon. He said, Isaiah, tell the people to go back to the ancient patterns in the spirit. You see, you must discover who you are in the spirit and discover what has called you for. If you are a Judah and you try to align with a Levi, just because you fall in love with what Levites do, you still lose heritage because the seed is connected to Judah, which is praise. Tell me. Am I communicating here? Hey, many people will get to a place in their life where they can't turn back to say sorry. That's when they realize how they've made mistakes in destiny. They tell me that we are human beings and we are meant to make mistakes. We can repent from mistakes. Don't be stupid. Or am I communicating? How God deals with men is very different. And I'm telling you, not everybody holds the same capacity before God. Yes. Some people, they can never change. So God will give them what makes them comfortable. I praise God. Oh, am I communicating, friends? Yes. I'm telling you. So I tell people that when you pray, always ask the Lord to activate your sensitivity. So when he speaks, you can obey his voice. Pray that prayer every day. Lord, activate my senses. So when you speak, I obey your voice. Because you see, it is very dangerous if all the lessons you learned in life came from life experiences. Because the experience of life does not teach, it takes away from you. Yes. There are believers, they always learned life through mistakes. They had to fight, get to a place, and then learn that, it's bad. You shouldn't allow somebody break your trust before you know the human beings are wicked. A friend of mine lived in Belgium here, and he called me and said, with the kind of business he does, he wants to go to Ghana. I said, Prof, let's pray. So I was praying, God told me that I should tell you, you shouldn't go to Ghana. You should stay here. He said, no. My cousin is the this and that of ministry in Ghana here, and he can give me a link to the person, bros, forget. The man will help you. I said, Prof, it's my own cousin, bros. Why am I saying this to you? He said, I trust you, sir. I trust your grace. You're a prophet, everything, but man of God, I said, bros, don't try this. I said whatever I had to say. The man listened to me and then, he packed and went to Ghana. I'm like, don't go and tell the community you're going to stay in Ghana before they take your book from you. So you just keep your house in Belgium here because after a while you will come back. Oh my God! My cousin, I said, that's fine. He's chopping big money. I said, that's okay, that's fine. Not knowing that this cousin of his was chosen by our current vice president to be his running mate. And everything looks so positive that they win the election. God is good. Until some of the candidates said, you are a young man. You're only 40 years old. We've been here for more than 40 years in this campaign thing. And you want to come and take this position. You know Africa now. They had to kill the man gradually. Slow poison. So he was coming to Germany every now and then just to come and take care of himself. And he said, this time when you go back, you die. If that makes sense. It is now that he was about to meet his own cousin. Can you imagine? He left Ghana. And for one, he had not met his cousin. Because every day the cousin was busy. He's here, he's there, he's here, he's there, he's here. Now they're about to meet the president so every contract could be established. The man has now died. Go ahead and say, Prof. I should have obeyed your voice. I said, but I thought you said you heard God's voice. So that's fine. So which voice is clear here? No, you see our problem? We want God to confirm what we want to hear. It's dangerous. You see, you must train yourself to disbelieve in your emotions. So when God speaks, it is final. Am I communicating? When people come to me in the office and I leave my house, I know, don't get me wrong, prophets are very dangerous. I can look at you and keep quiet. I'm on for husky via tofus. Well, am I communicating? Yeah. So I'm wondering what came into God's mind when Hezekiah prayed that God should give 15 years after. I'm wondering the shame that Isaiah will bear after you tell a man, God says, you die. And God says, wait, go back again. And tell him, I've had them for 15 years. I'm wondering, like, how is it that you came to tell me that God says this? No, it's question. God knows what he's doing. I'm praying that you don't misplace God's agenda. Because see, a lot of believers, they've missed out God's time. No, come here. Stand here, please. Oh, I'm not preaching here, please. Oh, I'm not preaching here. Clap your hands, friends. Yeah. Watch this. This is how God designed prayer to function. God designed prayer in a way that once you come into God's inner court and you utter a word, whatever you say should be in alignment with why he created you. Nobody is meant to pray out of God's will. They are meant to pray in alignment of God's will. If it makes sense, friends. So when someone should pray to God, asking God for something, whatever he utters should be what God has said about her own life. She can't pray outside that. The very moment she prays outside that, God is no more with her. That is why you see, God is too particular about your association, about what goes into your mind. Because you see, what enters your mind reflects in your life. You didn't hear me? Certain people don't understand why we instruct them not to do certain things. They don't understand why. Somebody can enter your life, and the person can destroy you totally, one person. Watch me. The ministry of mercy restores God's broken trust. It doesn't repair the hurt. I'm over Oscar TV houses. You see, how do I make it simple here? Oh, are you blessed, friends? Please watch me. What is your desire in life? Just one thing. For that's a powerful decision. So let's say this lady here is asking God for $1 million. Right? Now, if God should give her $1 million because she's looking at God from her own physical perspective, she would think God has answered her. Whereas God's will is that she will do what God says. But since she wants $1 million, God would give unto her what she thinks she deserves the most. But she doesn't know that the arrival of $1 million is a means for God to leave her. It is on earth that when we say people should pray, people think when they open their mouth, they've prayed. They've forgotten that in God's spirit, prayer actually means transformation. It means transfiguration. It means a journey. When I pray in alignment of God's will, he transfigures my stature into the realm ordained by God for me. You didn't hear me? So, I keep telling God's people that it is on earth that people want to see you have a physical child before they call you a father. People want to see a physical dynasty before they call you a father. But in the days of Abraham, when he was childless, God says you are father of all nations. Because there are two forms of babies. There's a physical baby and a physical character. Both are babies. You didn't hear me? Am I communicating, church? So, which part of life have you experienced? So, some people feel, I live a comfortable life. I have a child. I have a son. I've got two children. I have a husband. Hey, God told me, he says, only death has seen the end of war. Please, the things I see, they're deep in my age. So, write the name and make it on them. I was in a flight too. And God says, you don't know what you're about to do in this country. And he says, a lot of people are working in misconceptions. In this country, in this era, I don't know. Don't get angry. But you see, in this country, I don't know why Africans feel that when they enter Europe, they've entered heaven. I don't know why. I don't know why. You should tell me why. I don't know. But have this mentality. Once they enter Europe, Belgium, Holland, they've entered. What from this nonsense mentality? I don't know why. That's strange. After God gives them a house, now I say, it's false. I don't know. You should tell me. I don't know. It's strange. I was in a flight to Ghana, and there were three policemen. Actually, you were deporting a guy. I didn't know that if they're deporting you, they will have to go with you to Ghana. I didn't know that. Yeah. So they took the guy, gave the guy injection, and the guy was in the flight. So the policemen were eating, you know, happy. So I was reading my book, and I heard him talking. So one guy said, why are you going to Ghana? And I said, did you buy my ticket? What's that your business? And he says, no, your people are very funny. We've asked him to go back to his country. He doesn't want to go to his country. Praise God. So, funny enough, we got there and we were just waiting because we had a delay. So I asked the man that, why is that we were asked to come to Ghana? He didn't come to Ghana. So my brother's not doing me. My father's cocoa, I sold it 20 years ago. And I promised to bring the money back again to them. So God is good. So I began to speak with the guy and I realized the guy knows me. And he says, I know you. You're in Antwerp. He says, behind trees. I said, yes. He said, I came to your church. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, I came with a lot of people. He says, you told me not to marry a lady for documents. And I did. That's my downfall. God is good. Now, he was asking me at the airport if I can do magic for him. I said, Abi, I have chalk here, right? I have chalk here to do magic for you. Can you imagine? Say, man of God, be a very powerful guy. Powerful, please. I know when you talk, this will happen. I say, really? I guess I'm... praise God. So, honestly, if you try to rate your success in life based on what somebody has, you failed. I'm telling you. It is too dangerous. Please, don't listen to men. They have nothing to offer. I'm telling you. This life, people have nothing to offer. Nothing. I have seen people calm down in life. I have seen people gone up in destiny. I'm telling you. Oh, yes. Thank God, at least we are preaching the gospel. And thank God we have a testament of the things we used to do in the past. Am I communicating? Ask all the people I used to pray with. They will tell you everything they see me do now, I used to tell them before. Am I communicating? The issue of we being straight in prayer, they are still there today. They know themselves. Those who listen to my voice, they are okay in life now. Those who disobeyed, you can see their life today. Ask them, they'll tell you. Am I communicating? You see, there is no issue coming to church. There is no burden praying at all. But the issue is this. If you change from what God has said, you'll find somebody else. Because he says he honored the petition of Hezekiah because of his servant David and the people, not because of him. Am I communicating? Honestly, it's my prayer. You will not live in a false mentality where you will assume that, I prayed and God gave me this, and God says, no. It is out of order, out of course. God told me this. He says, your disobedience can never bring a stop to God's kingdom. Because everybody God chooses, God has a backup. Are you blessed, friends? Clap your hands, please. God is good. Yeah. I should take time out and then teach this one day. You see? Watch me. One of the greatest advantage God can ever give anybody is insight into the future. One of the greatest blessings God can give anybody is to see what tomorrow holds. Am I teaching you? I was in America after our invasion in the U.S. So I was very tired because we were doing our fruit and vegetable fast. So I didn't break my fast. I didn't break a fast until I finished the program. We finished around 2 o'clock in the morning. I was very tired. So I was sitting there where they were packing the things. And then two men of God came and said, "Senior prophet, thank you for reassuring us that God can use men like us. God is good. Watch me. I want you to know that this thing called life, it is God that created it. Your intelligence is too small to rule the affairs of life. Because you can't control tomorrow. I'm telling you. This life, the life looks free, yet you are caged. It looks you have the right to make any choice you want to make, but you are caged. This life. Is this life that somebody looks like they are running very fast, and God says if they are running in the wrong location, that speed has no advantage. You didn't hear me. Psalm 37 verse 1. Hear the wise words from King David. Today I'm talking in plain language so you understand the preaching itself. Psalm 37 verse 1. It says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." Somebody has money, but you clearly know the origin is false, and you are bitter in your heart. He says, don't be envious of them. Why? Verse 2. "For they will soon cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb." They will soon cut out. Verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." This life. This life. Oh, am I communicating first? This is life. This is life. Sometimes I sit down and I begin to think and ask myself that, do people really understand the effect of some decision you're about to take? Hello? Because, truly speaking, some people don't take life serious at all. I'm telling you, some people don't take life at all. They feel they can do whatever they want to do and be okay. When you meet anybody that is careless, you're working with a fool. Don't work with them. They will destroy what you carry. Every careless being is a senseless being. They wake up today and the next minute you see them at parties. I'm not talking here. No reverence for what they do. No, you see, the heart you carry is a message. Did you hear that? Everything about your life is highly dependent on the content of your heart. I'm telling you. Joseph had every right to say, "Let me kill whatever gift and vision God has given unto me, because the king's wife has given me a free access to whatever she wants." Bible says, and Joseph said in his heart, "He will not defile himself." Not because people were seeing him, because his vision was bigger than his pleasure. I'm not talking. Today's Christianity, you can't correct certain people because they feel their two words be corrected. You can't. The Bible says, and the father gave to the prodigal son what he asked for and kept quiet. Sometimes, try and go to your fathers and all and ask them to be honest with you and let them tell you what they think of you. Because certain fathers can look at you like this and keep quiet and watch you quietly. He knew the son would come back again to him. God told me that thing he did, he didn't go to a far location. He actually took a worse decision. He came back again. Praise God. The Bible says the father hugged him but didn't give him whatever he had again. Certain things, if you lose, you can't have them again. Forget motivational speakers. If you fall down in life, you come back. That fall down means you fell in grace. I mean, life brought you down, but you still held onto integrity. Not when you choose to fall down. No. There are things like Job. God will let you lose just to prove his faithfulness in your life. and it can let you have the power to gain it time and again. Not the one you choose to lose yourself. I'm telling you. It is very painful, eh? If every vision God give up our life didn't come to pass. You see, sometimes the tears people get to share at funeral isn't only about whatever the person's lost in life for. So the fact that the griever will now swallow cheaply what you have. Keep it in mind. My heart tears have also for us. Am I communicating, friends? Cheap life. Cheap, I don't know. Cheap destiny. Can somebody lay hands on their head and say, I refuse to be normal? Life is very expensive. It's an expensive commodity. Very expensive. Very, very expensive. And you see, it is so... Okay, my last word. I bless friends. Okay. Over the weekend, a Nigerian artist married a guy from Ghana. God is good. And then I saw people insulting the lady on social media that her dress is so simple. Hello? They're like, with all the money she has, she could have, you know, done better, you know? Now, you see, our world is so shameless that people think exposing your cleavages means you are around. You see how foolish the world has become this? When you're naked, you say, oh, yeah, Kai, you're looking beautiful. Now that somebody is portraying modesty, it's not a problem for us. You see, also, how we are seeing good as evil and evil as good is serious. Now, I was asking myself why this guy married the lady. If that makes sense. With all the girls in Nigeria. Until the guy gave the lady mic to talk at an event in Ghana. And the comment the lady made in 2 minutes made me know why. Sometimes, before you are quick to judge, seek to know what they know. You know why they have certain things. Don't fight for resource. Seek for the knowledge they have. Hello? Ha! And he said, something about destiny. He said, destiny is like a vehicle. We all came into this program with a different vehicle. If that makes sense. But funny enough, we all came at the same time. And we enjoyed the same move. And we'll go back with a different vehicle. That is life. Spoke for life. I'm like, no, I now know why. You see? I pray for every lady here. I was told today is International Women's Day, right? I'm praying for you. Women, lift up your hands. I'm praying for you. That God will open your understanding. I'm praying. So you'll be wise in Jesus' name. I'm praying for you. Yeah. May you not miss your husband because of your boyfriend. Oh, yay. Ah. God is good. I once joined a minister session with one church in Ghana. They've been so well with their past immediate chairman. Now, history recorded that before the man left that chairmanship, he actually added close to 2 million members to the church in 10 years. And then, before the man left, he told the council coming that, my prayer for you is that you will not enjoy the flamboyance of success and neglect the seed that brings about success. He says, we have done our best by making it possible for you to go through this. But it's my prayer for you that you don't forget about the seeds. Because see, when people forget about what life is about and enjoy what tomorrow holds, they forget that tomorrow was just yesterday. By asking them to present whatever today holds for them. I'm telling friends. You're standing, friends. Are you blessed, friends? So I'm begging you, friends, please stop quoting this quotation and God give Isaiah Ezekiel 15 years. No, read further. You know that that 15 years made him lose everything. Lift up your hands.
Thank
you and God bless you for listening to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. Don't forget to share with us how this message has been a blessing to you and your family on +324 920 9054 or email us at office@benjaminfodjer.org. Follow Prophet Benjamin on Facebook, YouTube, podcast at Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. On Instagram is Benjamin_Fodjer. Twitter is SeniorBenjaminFodjer. And on website is www.benjaminfodjer.org. Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. The vision, the mission, the passion.